You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
We're going to continue in our time of worship, and that's going to lead us into the message time this morning. And I know we've had a lot of people up here on stage talking, but don't worry, I've trimmed my message up. It's at least 5-10 minutes shorter. It'll only be 40-50 minutes today. So I'm just kidding. It's going to be just probably 30-35. Some of you are laughing and some of you are nervously looking for the doors. Is he serious? How bad is it raining outside right now? Can I hear the rain on the roof? What's worse? Guys, my name is Matt Robinson. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm really excited to be here with you today. It is a good thing. Every now and then, we get so busy and caught up in our lives that it's good to look back and say, hey, this is what we've seen God do. And there has been unexpected things in the past year in each of our lives. There have been exciting unexpected things, and there's also been hard unexpected things. I heard somebody say this week, wherever God is leading you, know that he is already there. And I thought that's really, really good. So Parkside, we've got this we've got this fiscal year that goes July to June. And so we have this surprise moment every June where we have our annual meeting in a Sunday morning service and we go, look at what God has done. And I like it. I like the fact that it's kind of a surprise, that it kind of sneaks up on us. And if you're here this morning and it's your first time, I'm glad you're here because it is. It's not often enough that we pause and we go, thank you, God, for providing for our needs this year. Thank you, Lord, for our leaders. And thank you, God, for our church. So this morning, as we go through the Gospel of Mark series, the passage of Scripture that we're looking at, and we're looking at briefly, don't worry, I'm not going to go too long. As we look at it, it is so timely for what we're talking about as a church. So let's open up to Mark chapter 9, whether it's on your phones, whether you're opening up your Bible at home, online, or you just want to watch it on the screen. We're going to start off Mark chapter 9, verse 1. And he said to them, this is verse 1, truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. All right, press pause real quick. Put your finger in the page where you're reading. He was transfigured before them. This is a crazy, amazing, awe-inspiring story, and you can skip right over some of the incredible if you're not ready for it. So I want to pause really quick, and I just want to think about the other parallel gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptic gospels, and in the synoptic gospels, there is a lot of overlap of the stories. We talked about earlier in the series that what I likely think happened is that Mark was written first. It's called Markan priority. And so Mark gathered all these firsthand details. He likely took a lot of interviews with Peter. We think a lot of Mark is firsthand accounts from Peter. And they borrowed from each other, but they also interviewed people, and they presented it to different audiences. And so to look at these two verses in the Synoptic Gospels, they're almost completely identical. First, they say, Jesus tells them, get ready. Some of you are going to get to see the kingdom of God in power very soon. Then, in the very next verse, in all three of these Gospels, it says, a few days later, they did. Each author is telling us, Jesus said, if a few of you are about to see something powerful, and then something amazing happened. And here's what the amazing thing was. Here's the kingdom of God in power. Verse 3, his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. right? Some moms out there right now are considering, what detergent did Jesus use that got his clothes brilliantly white, whiter than anyone could bleach them? In the other Gospels, Matthew in chapter 17, verse 2, he said that Jesus' face shone like the sun when he was transfigured, and his clothes became as white as light. Matthew and Mark are both trying to put into words how awe-inspiring it was to see Jesus transfigured. In Luke 9:29, it says that as Jesus was praying, his appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. If we get the thunderstorms later today that they're talking about, think about that as you see the light in the windows of your house flash on and off in just a brilliant instant. Think about what it must have been like to look upon Jesus in this transfigured state. They all tried to explain, they tried to put into words just how incredible Jesus looked, but there weren't enough words. And that's why we call this passage the Transfiguration, because Jesus was transformed. It wasn't just who Jesus was talking to, it was the fact that he had a complete change. He was in his deified state. We got to remember that God is that Jesus is fully man, but he's also fully God. And on this mountain, these three disciples get to see him not just with skin on, but in his glorified, deified state. And they get to this moment where the curtain is pulled back and they see Jesus for who he really is, and they are struggling to describe it. And it's not just the gospel writers that are struggling to describe it. It's Peter that's speechless too. Verse 5, Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And verse 6 is great. I'm sure there would have been a verse 6 if I was there. "He did not know what to say. They were so frightened." Like, Peter's like, "This is all I got. Let's build some tents." Verse 6 is just this cool little side note from Mark. Like I said earlier in the service, and we've talked about in this series, this is probably Peter's firsthand account. Peter's describing to Mark, "Hey, here's what happens. I couldn't even figure out what to say. And so I said, let's build some tents." The other thing that is so cool about verses 5 and 6 that it shows us is just how incredible of a moment this was. In Luke's account of this story, in chapter 9, verse 32, it says that Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and that two men were standing with him, Moses and Elijah. So Peter, James, and John get to go with Jesus up on this mountaintop just by themselves. They get up there. I'm sure they're tired from the hike. They take a nap. They're like, "Hey, we're going to take a break." And Jesus begins praying, and they begin to hear Jesus talk. And so they are. They wake up, and they hear Jesus talking to two of the most respected people in all of Jewish history. They're wiping the sleep out of their eyes, and they can't believe what they're seeing. Moses, the guy who led Israel out of Egypt and wrote the first five books of the Torah. And who else is with him? Elijah, an Old Testament prophet who performed some of the most powerful miracles in all of Scripture. He brought people back from the dead. He was used by God to save his people from overwhelming threats from enemies. And all three of them are just chatting. And Peter, James, and John are going, "I don't know what there is to say. This is so incredible. Is it even real?" I mean, can you see Peter in this moment? Just so flabbergasted that he's going, Jesus, this is pretty cool. I think we should stay here. I think we should stay here. We could build three tents and stay here." His plan doesn't even really account for the three of them. It's like, "We're going to build each of you tents, and I'm going to have to go. We're going to have to get more people." He's so excited. This isn't the moment that Jesus is getting them ready for. This might feel like the mountaintop, but it's not the end of the story. Let's finish the story. Verse 7, "Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. 'This is my son whom I love. Listen to him.' Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man, that's Jesus, had risen from the dead. This moment was so incredible that Peter wanted to stay on the mountain. Forget whatever plans you have for what's next, Jesus. Let's just stay here. We just want to stay in this moment. But their mission wasn't the mountain. That's not why Jesus had come to earth. Their mission wasn't on the mountain. Jesus tells them not to tell anyone about this until after he rises from the dead. The reason they weren't supposed to tell anybody was because he needed to die on the cross. He needed to be the sacrifice for all mankind. His mission took priority over the mountaintop. The mountain's amazing, but the mission is in the valley. Billy Graham once said, "Mountaintops are for views and inspiration, but fruit is grown in the valley." Jesus was called to save humanity, and he was going to go into the valleys of this world to do it. Parkside, the mountaintop moments are great. The moments of celebration, the moments of praising God, they can be awe-inspiring. They might charge us up, but they aren't our mission. Our weekly services are important because they connect us to God, and they're a time for us to encourage each other. But it's not our mission. We're called not to live on the mountaintop, but to take Jesus, the light of the world, to the hurting and the lost in the valleys. We were called to the valleys. Alicia was cleaning out some stuff in our house recently, and she came across a CD booklet. Do you all remember CD booklets? The millennials in the room, we're kind of on this like generational divide where there's a group younger than us that don't really ever do anything with CDs, and there's a group older than us that don't really do anything ever with CDs. They were the cassettes, the record generation. Maybe they have a few CDs, but CDs are slowly becoming this outdated thing, right? And so Alicia finds this CD booklet, and I open it up, and it's all my CDs from when I was in high school. And these were the CDs I kept in my car. And so I'm looking through, and some of them are big name CDs, CDs that maybe everybody would have. But I saw a few that were small name bands that I had seen live in concert and bought their CD. And one of them was this band named Polar Boy. And I'm not going to play the song for you because I don't want you to make fun of my taste in music. I think it's incredible. But this CD had a song that I used to jam to. I would go out in the middle of the summer, roll down the windows right in the evening when the sun was starting to go down and the air was starting to be cool, and this song called Longer Weekend, I would just crank it. And the words to this song was, "I can't wait for the highway at 5. I'm taking it out on the rush hour drive, and through it all, I've kept myself alive, but I'm not going back till Monday morning at 9. Right? Everybody's waiting for the longer weekend. That's another song, right? I love that song, and so I did. I put it in my CD player in my car. You know, cars might not even have CD players for much longer. And I cranked that song. So many of us are holding on, holding our breath for the weekend. We're waiting for the mountaintop. We're waiting to get to that place where we can just take a deep breath and enjoy the view and be inspired. But Parkside, we are not meant to hold our breath, watch the clock each and every day just to get to the weekend where we can start climbing the mountain. During the week is when our mission happens. We aren't waiting for the longer weekend. We are striving, we're working to help people meet Jesus so he can take them to the mountaintop too. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we have life groups, not just to build ourselves up, but to get us ready for Monday through Saturday, to encourage and strengthen each other for our 9-to-5s, to gear us up for our time with our neighbors. We don't get together on Sundays. We don't climb the mountain to escape. We climb the mountain. We worship together to remember and to prepare for the mission that God has for us. We see Jesus transformed so that we can be transformed and be an agent of transformation in our community. Our mission is Monday through Saturday. Love God, love people, and help others do the same. Peter says, let's stay here forever, but God clearly has other plans for him. Look at verse 7 of chapter 9. Jesus doesn't answer Peter's suggestion. God the Father does. Verse 7, then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, this is my son, whom I love, listen to him. Peter says, let's stay. And Jesus, his answer comes from God as Father. God says, follow Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Daniel Aiken, in his commentary, Exalting God in Mark, or Jesus in Mark, says, while his glory is being displayed in brilliant light, Elijah and Moses appear, talking to Jesus. But when the cloud disappears, Elijah and Moses vanish, and Jesus alone remains. Moses and Elijah were huge spiritual voices for a Jewish person. But God removes them from the conversation and says, listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus and follow Jesus. What Peter discovered and what we need to embrace as well is that Jesus didn't stay on the mountaintop. He went down to the valley to rescue people and finally gave up his life for all mankind on a hill far away. So Parkside, as we have this all-church meeting, as we say, hey, thank you for this past year. God, Lord, please bless us with another year where we're living on mission. We cannot stay on the mountaintop. If we stay on the mountaintop, how is this world, how is our community going to hear about Jesus? Do we expect them to climb the mountain on their own and find their own way to hearing the good news of who Jesus is? In my morning devotions, I've been reading John Wesley's journal. And John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church. And he was a phenomenal preacher and speaker and evangelist. And he had such a heart for lost people. But he did something that was actually incredibly controversial in his time. And the controversial thing he did in his time was he talked about Jesus outside of his church. In his time, he wanted to go where the people were, where the people needed Jesus most. And so he did. He came to America, and he wanted to share Jesus with people that didn't have pastors over here in America. He went out to the fields where people were working, and he preached to people in the fields. He preached to people in the marketplace. And there was people that were really, really angry about that. The place for the message of Jesus is in a church, not in the workplace. The workplace isn't fit for the message of Jesus. And in one of his journal entries, John Wesley wrote, the world is my parish. The world is my church. Parkside, do we have a vision for our mission to love God, love people, help others do the same, that leaves us thinking, the world is my church. Wherever I go, there I am to speak the name of Jesus. What is God telling us, Parkside? He's leading us to our community. He's leading us down off the mountain to our mission. Here's what I want to do to wrap up and send us out in service today. If you guys can take your ballot, and if you guys can stand up, guys and gals, and we're just going to take this ballot, and regardless of how you voted, this ballot is going to represent just praying over our church. So I just want you to take this in your hand, and I'm going to pray for us here in just a second. But like I said in communion, do you know the face of your neighbors? Do you know the face of the people around you, the face of the people in our community? I so firmly believe that if we spend time with Jesus on the mountaintop, if we see Jesus for who he really is, his face shining brightly, then we will go to our neighbors and we'll shine that same light to them so that they can know God. So let's pray over these after service. Just put these in the green dots around the room. And like Mark and Todd said, if you want to talk more with an elder or a leader, grab one of us. We can talk more about these two. But Parkside, let's be a church that builds our lives not on the mountaintop, but that we follow Jesus and listen to Jesus, and we let him lead us into the valleys. Let's pray. Lord, as we hold these ballots in our hands, it's easy for us to just go, oh, you know, today was a church meeting. We checked some boxes. We left. We had to dodge raindrops. But Lord, today is a day where we remember our calling. And God, if we ever forget our mission, if we forget our calling, then we don't have a reason to exist as a church. Lord, we exist to share your love with others, to be a conduit of your love to our community. So, Lord, when we look upon your face and we don't know what to say, when we look upon your face and we feel like Peter going, Lord, let's stay here forever, please gently remind us that we're supposed to listen to you, we're supposed to follow you and do what you say. Send us out, Lord. Send us out to a world where we go to places like Butterbee's and we hear our waitress who is hurting and we say, we've got to do something about that. Lord, where we go to our neighbors in their greatest need and we try and find simple, meaningful ways to hold grace in an open hand and serve them with the love of Jesus. God, as we go out today, fill us up with your joy. Let your face shine upon us so that as we go out into the world, people can see that we have been in your presence and we can be a bright light in the valleys. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, Parkside, go out today, even on this rainy day, and be the bright light of Jesus' church. Go in peace.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.